Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we bring you our highlights from CES 2020, trends, builds, and RGB. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, it's that time of year. I'm sure our regular listeners are aware that we're running a little late because of our, and this year, only your.
Yeah, a year instead of our.
Trip to CES. And for the folks at home, my day job, unfortunately, did not have great timing, so I had to stay home this year.
No.
However, I'm excited because we'll get to do a full CES wrap-up.
Yes, that I like that idea. Let's do that.
All right. Well, this year, the themes seem to be a little bit more of the same. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of new stuff, but I know you saw quite a few folks. So I thought we could run through some of the highlights and give folks a taste of what they had. Now, if you are listening to the podcast, I want to make you aware that we are going to be putting out a gallery of some of the stuff that we've talked about on this particular podcast, the highlights.
Yeah.
And there'll be, I'm sure, a lot of stuff in that gallery that we don't have time to talk about. So be sure to come back to hardwareasylum.com and check out the CES 2020 gallery.
All right.
Now, with that being said, where do you want to start?
Well, how about we start with the show in general?
All right.
Because, you know, I go to Vegas, or we have gone to Vegas, to go see the show.
That's true.
And it seems like we're only on the show floor maybe one day. This year, the theme, I guess, is AI. So in place of where the Intel booth was last year,
yes,
was a company called Neon. And supposedly it was like a four-month-old company that was bankrolled by the CEO of Samsung.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
And what they were building was a virtual person.
Okay.
So you think Alexa, but then a full person on a screen that you would interact with, and it would recognize if you were doing hand gestures, it would recognize what you're saying and be able to do things for you digitally.
Interesting. Now, so, we've seen stuff like this before, especially in the Japanese market. I think, mm-hmm, I remember last year they had like a, was it like a little foot tall hologram gal that we talked about?
So the difference with these avatars, though, is that they're designed for specific tasks. So, for instance, you could have a yoga instructor.
Oh.
So the avatar would teach you how to do yoga poses and stuff. You would have also an administrative assistant. So you could have conversations with your assistant, and they could go off, send emails, or make phone calls for you and stuff like that.
Now, hold on. So this is all in one unit. So you could call up your yoga instructor avatar and then switch to your personal assistant avatar. Is this like unique personas?
I'm going to guess unique personas, but the technology was pretty rough, but they had a lot to show.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really looking forward to that, seeing where it goes.
Well, there was a lot of press this year about, robots that were interacting with the Amazon Alexa or the Google Home or, you know, choose your favorite AI service. So I'm not surprised that that was a big theme. It seems like every year we get a little more of that, always TVs. And car automation seemed to be relatively big. And in fact, I think, you are showing the picture of the one that got the most press, at least from Microsoft. And that is, I believe, the Samsung.
Yeah, it's a Samsung. I can't remember the name of it.
Ball thing?
Yeah, but it was a ball. And the video demonstration that they had was this ball was wandering around your house and your corgi goes and spills cereal off of your table, which I don't know why you're leaving cereal out on your table while you're going to work.
Sure.
But your corgi went and spilled it, so it contacted the Roomba to go and clean up the mess.
Clever. Now, I watched some of the keynote, which was done by Samsung this year. It's available online. And I should say I watched all of it, but the part that included this little ball, they had the introduction, and it actually followed him around on stage for quite some time. So you can go see this thing in action if you feel the desire to check that out.
Yeah. One of the other items that I thought was really interesting was John Deere had a rather large booth in South Hall.
Well, no, interesting. Now, we have talked a little bit about automation in farming in the past as kind of something that neither one of us are familiar with, but we know it's out there.
Yeah. Well, what they were showing was a smart, smart crops, if you will.
Okay.
So they have this big tractor, and it's a sprayer tractor. I forget what the name of it is, but it's got a long boom on both sides.
Okay.
And normally it's used to spray for weeds or spray fertilizer. And you go out once every, 3 weeks or something like that, and you go and tend to your crops, basically. Well, what this does is it will go and map out what's happening in your field and then determine, oh, this plant needs to have X. This plant needs to have this. There's some bugs happening here. So what it will do is it will change the spray pattern and what it's spraying based off of what's happening in your crop.
Wow. A lot of technology in farming, but I am a little surprised to see that much of a presence at CES. I wonder if that will grow.
But a bump.
Sorry.
So some of the other items that were at CES included augmented reality that would go on to construction equipment. So I stopped by the North Hall because I wanted to see the latest car audio stuff. I really like going by there. Orion had a 15 or an 18-inch subwoofer that normally a subwoofer is a cube, right? You know, the width of it is usually the depth of it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you would have the magnet that was just freaking huge, right? And a lot of the HCCA amplifiers were like that. Well, this one, what they did is they elongated the cone. So it made it like an 18-inch sub, but the amount of air that it was moving was closer to 20 or 21 inches.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I'm not sure if that is actually viable or not.
Yeah, more efficient, less efficient.
Well, it's for SPL, so it's probably just designed to be louder, not necessarily sound good. Again, as with every year I go to the Orion booth, I get completely ignored and looked at funny when I'm touching stuff and they don't come by to challenge me. So
don't touch the stuff. You just don't look like the audiophile stereotype, I guess.
Another ba-dump bump.
Oh.
And then, of course, there were a ton of cars, including some F1 race cars, and this really crazy Honda thing.
That's pretty.
Which reminds me a lot of an R8, but it has a Honda badge on it.
It says it's an NSX GT.
Which does look a lot like an R8.
Yeah.
NSXs.
There's a lot of truth to that. Now, the NSX is probably most famous, if you haven't seen it, for being the car from The Last Iron Man.
Oh, yes. Oh, and then Nakamichi. You remember that company?
Yeah.
It seems like they went away for a while.
You know, when I was young, Nakamichi made the best compact home audio stuff.
Yeah.
And then they really did manage.
Well, they are back, and they have these crazy, the only way I can describe it is crazy amplifiers. They have these.
That's pretty and clear. Wow.
Yeah, they put a clear top over it so you can see all the electronics, which I think was something big in the 80s when you would have high-end hi-fi stereos and stuff.
Well, it had windows for a while, but it was never fully clear.
But Nakamichi had a booth. Again, with me not being an audiophile or something, the sales guy that was there manning the booth was waiting for a guy to send an email on his phone, looking all stupid and staring off into space while I was standing there trying to get his attention.
Hello, Nakamichi.
Yeah. And then there was a couple of Japanese guys that were over in the corner.
Maybe your hair was not the right color of candy.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll have to work on that for next year. But I normally post a Cars of CES, so you'll see some of these items on our Facebook page.
Very pretty. Yeah, they always have some fun cars, some prototypes and some really pretty custom builds.
Oh, the Audi booth. This is the most creative booth I've ever seen.
For a car place or just in general?
In general.
Oh, look at that. That's interesting.
So they have, in the past, the auto manufacturers usually have these open booths where it just shows off cars and then there's platforms that go all the way around and that's how you know you're in the booth.
Sure.
Audi had these plastic strips coming down from the very top all the way to the bottom, and they had them in such a way that it obscured anything that was beyond it. But that was how you entered. You go through the plastic strips, and then the closer you get, the more unveiled the car became.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty darn cool. Because like this picture that I'm showing you right now, you can barely see there's people in there.
Sure.
But if you look over here on the far right, everything's obscured. You can't see what's going on.
The further away. Yeah, some kind of interesting, it's almost like a waterfall effect.
Yeah, but it was really a neat concept for a booth.
So got kind of a good overview.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge surprise on the theme this year, I guess. Although I didn't hear a lot about TVs, which was a surprise.
Well, I didn't bring up TVs because there was really nothing to bring up. And I will qualify that with, do you remember the hot item at the LG booth?
The roll-up TV?
Yeah, the roll-up TV.
So cool.
They had the exact same display this year.
Oh, are they selling them yet?
I'm not sure.
Ah, well, that's okay.
And then LG, I believe, also had the woozy wall thing where they'd have these big displays in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And the other technology was OLED 8K televisions.
Oh, yeah. And we saw those, what, 2 years ago?
Yep.
And they're finally starting to come out.
And the OLEDs are basically, you get your true black and more power efficiency. And they're really super thin. But other than 8K, which was, a lot of people were joking that you would have an 8K television, but you would have no way to put an 8K picture on your television.
Well, not anytime soon. We're still seeing very little 4K content.
One of the most impressive things from last year was there again, which was at the Samsung booth, and it was the wall.
Yeah. I heard that they've made the wall a little bit bigger this year just because they needed it to be a little bit bigger.
And it was really difficult to tell if it was a little bit bigger, but the thing was huge. And they had the same content on there where it was talking about how the wall can be any size and shape that you want and show any sort of content you want. So that's pretty awesome.
Yep, definitely modular is the future. Yeah. All right, now that I've got my TV fix out of the way, let's talk about some of the highlight vendors that you visited.
All right, so ADATA. Normally, I don't visit with ADATA, partially because they have been really super stingy with samples, but they had a pretty amazing booth in the South Hall. No, not in South Hall, the Venetian.
Oh, nice.
They have this set of gaming gear now, similar to what every other manufacturer is doing.
Well, we've talked about that trend before. Everybody wants to have their own full set of peripherals. So if you sponsor esports, they can run your gear.
Well, they have the XPG, which is a gaming brand, and they sponsor an esports gaming event.
All right.
So here we go. We have a mechanical keyboard with red keycaps. We have, and of course, RGB. Some gaming headphones. These have gold accents on them.
Oh, pretty. It looks like actual leather on the headband.
Mm-hmm. They're maybe pretty high quality.
They look nice.
And on top of that, they have water coolers.
Nice.
Gaming memory, of course.
Oh, yeah.
RGB SSDs. And then the fancy thing that I chuckled, they had this RGB memory that had a crystalline top to it, which remind me a lot of the G-Skill Royale Z.
Yeah, now that's interesting. Now, the picture, I don't think, does it real justice there, because is it a two-module piece?
Yeah, this is a two-module piece that has the crystal thing on top of both modules. So I'm not sure how that exactly works, but
Maybe just some kind of fancy light diffusion. But at least they're trying something different.
They're doing cases now, too. Everybody's
Again,
doing cases.
Everybody's doing cases.
And this is the XPG Invader chassis, which I really liked. It was very simple, very straightforward, had relatively good cooling and tempered glass side panels.
It's got some fun grid detail to it. I like the fact that they've got some branding on the inside bay there. Mm-hmm. Not a bad looking case.
Yeah, they had a really good show. And I've been told that they are now expanding into the gaming arena, they will have samples available. So hopefully we'll have something on hardware side.
Absolutely. It'd be nice to get some new products in the lab.
ASUS was on the list. And ASUS hasn't really changed much. And the items that they had on display were all basically things that we've seen before.
Okay.
So we have an all-in-one cooler, which the reason I bring it up is because now it has the OLED displays that were on the motherboard that you can have, showing temperatures and fan speeds and stuff like that, and also custom graphics.
No, I like this trend, though, Dennis, because I feel like they're doing something that looks good and actually had some value.
Yes.
Not just pretty lights.
Exactly. It's using the technology what I would consider the right way. And, of course, they had the fancy Threadripper motherboard.
Threadripper.
The Zenith Extreme.
Some pretty color on that.
Yeah. This one reminds me of a lot of what the Dominus Extreme was, because of the heat spreader across the top and the way everything's covered. But for Threadripper, it is a pretty, pretty board.
Very nice.
And then they had some gaming cases as well. The highlight here that I wanted to bring up was a mouse. And I know you like mice.
Yeah, you know, having a good mouse is kind of like having good tires on your sports car. It's a necessity that a lot of folks overlook. I know, I'm preaching to the choir, though.
So this is the ROG Checkerem. I think I butchered that.
Chakram, maybe? Who knows? But anyway, tell me about it.
This is a wired and also 2.4 gigahertz wireless and Bluetooth wireless mouse with a 16,000 DPI optical resolution and a 400 IPS tracking speed.
Dual wireless and Bluetooth and wired?
Yeah.
All right.
And the best part about it is that it can come apart. So you can change the switches out. So you can change them to a different style switch if you want.
Nice.
You can change a custom logo down here in the corner. And if you want to run it wireless, you have the dongle under the mouse. You can pull that out. So that way the dongle stays with the mouse all the time.
Good.
And I believe it has weights.
It looks like I see weights there and some sort of tool in a fun little carry case.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, when I first saw this, I thought you were going to throw more 3D printed buttons at me.
Oh, no.
But it's just a true modular mouse.
It is. It's really a cool design. I really liked it a lot. And it felt good. It wasn't ambidextrous, but it had a nice size.
I like the shape of it, too. I'm a big fan of that because I use the palm grip that rest on the side there.
Next on the list, we have Cooler Master.
Hey, Cooler Master.
Cooler Master had kind of the same stuff on display, some keyboards, some mice. They're doing the super amazing extra ultralight mouse. I forget the name of it, but it's the one that has all the holes in it.
Yeah, I see that.
It only weighs a couple of grams.
Well, they look nice. I'm not sure how I feel about the texture of it, but I haven't used one of these yet.
Yeah.
I have a suspicion that I maybe would forget that it has the holes in it once I got up to speed.
Well, you won't forget how light it is. It weighs absolutely nothing. And I happen to like mice that have weight behind them. Otherwise, I find that I'm not in control.
Now, is the intention that it is a weight adjustable mouse or just that they're making them light?
It's just super, super light.
Well, the RGB effect on it is neat. I'll give it that. But I kind of like to be able to feel my mouse too.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a gaming mouse. I believe that's the reason behind it. But the highlight here was they have a new V8 cooler with RGB. The V8 from 8 years ago or whatever. So they're bringing that back, which is a triple radiator dual fan cooler.
Right.
And I looked at it. I'm like, hey, this looks a lot like the V10, you know, the one with the Peltier. And I got the guy off guard and he's like, yeah, that was a while ago. Wasn't it?
Well, it's a successor, a spiritual successor, maybe.
Yeah. Well, they came out around the same time. They are doing gaming peripherals beyond mice and keyboards. Now they're bringing in desks, monitors, and they have four styles of gaming chair.
That's a lot of chairs.
A lot of chairs.
Oh, they're good looking chairs though. Looks like they've got several different styles. They got a chair to fit everyone, right?
Yeah. Some of them have a really hard bottom to them. So if you sit in your chair a lot, I think it will mold to you. They also have an ergonomic one that reminds me a bit of a bastardized Herman Miller chair.
I like the look of that. That looks like a professional chair from the back, not so gaudy like those chairs can be.
Yeah, and it's really super comfortable. I got to sit in all of them.
Nice.
The really expensive one, which I'm showing you here, was really super hard. It was uncomfortable to sit in. And ironically, the cheap one was comfortable. Creative. We always like visiting Creative.
Oh, they have the best displays. How were they this year?
They brought in the X-Fi 2.0.
Oh, nice.
So they're taking in all of the data points from basically that they collected from people that were submitting profiles and whatnot and improved the sound sampling. So,
oh, wow.
As we talked about last year, Super X-Fi was an attempt to bring full surround speakers to headphones by changing the timing and the echo and stuff like that.
It's really slick.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, what they did with 2.0 is they added more speakers to the soundstage and then expanded the soundstage. So it actually feels like the speaker is further away, so you get more definition between front and back.
Oh, that's a nice improvement.
And on top of that, they're adding the Super X-Fi chip to just about everything.
Oh, that's good, though, because for a while you had to have the little dongle or external processing.
Mm-hmm. They had a gaming headset, which has the Super X-Fi in it.
Nice.
And this is one that I posted during the show. And it sounded amazing. And then, of course, you could flip the switch to turn X-Fi on and off as you were playing. And it really enhanced the depth of the game. It didn't really improve my gameplay, but it made it sound different, if that's a thing.
Well, you know, when you're gaming, you'll take every edge that you can get. In fact, I believe we've got a review coming up of their external amp DAC that I've been using, and it also adds Super X-Fi to your non-Super X-Fi headphones. So come back and check that out.
Let's see. Crucial. They are basically revamping the Ballistex memory lineup with RGB that is slightly different from the Tactical Tracer.
Oh, okay.
So it's a whole new spreader design, heat spreader design, that has an integrated light bar. So it's not like it's removable and 3D printable.
Okay.
However, they do have an upper end, which is the Ballistex Max, that you can remove the light bar and do the 3D printing and stuff like that with those modules.
Oh, you could make it red, Max.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
There you go. It's coming soon. I feel like they've gotten more conservative in their heat sink design, though.
But
since you don't really see much but the top, I guess that's maybe not that big a deal.
Well, I brought up how I really liked the heat spreader design on the Elites because it had some weight to it. They actually seem like they were machined heat spreaders. And they said, well, those are really good heat spreaders, but they're a bit expensive.
Right.
So they're trying to min-max these modules. And these go up to 4,400 megahertz now, so they are pretty high speed.
Finally, Crucial's back in the high end. I love it.
Yes. EVGA, they were showing a working version of the Dark SR3, and of course their sound cards.
Ooh. Yeah, I liked what I heard about their sound cards last year. Mm-hmm. Still haven't had a chance to really put one to the test, though. Hopefully we'll get a chance this year.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the sound card is that it requires a daughter board to run 5.1 sound.
Interesting. Well, I haven't seen that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's because you remember it had the professional plug on it, so
yes.
It didn't have enough room to put the other plugs. So it just has this breakout panel to bring in the rear channels.
Very cool. Unfortunately, that tends to push the price up a little bit, but you are getting, I think, a higher level of audio than we've seen from anybody outside of Creative.
But the highlight of their booth was the 2060 RTX 2060 KO.
Nice.
Which is killer, awfully small.
That works.
It's supposed to be an inexpensive 2060. And for this particular card, it's small form factor. And it comes with a backplate or something.
Very nice. No RGB?
No RGB.
Oh, there's that backplate, though. And that's looking pretty slick.
Yeah, I like the backplates that they've been doing. They are really just kind of a laser cut brushed aluminum piece. But they're really pretty. They're really well designed.
I have to tell you, I think that there should be a backplate on any serious gaming video card. It should just be a given.
Well, you will be happy to know that there is a backplate on the EVGA new graphic or sound card.
The new audio has a backplate? Yep. Ah, it gets more and more appealing every year. EVGA, you got my number.
Gigabyte had a rather lackluster display this year. Last year, they had the gaming monitor that they were trying to tout. This time, they had a lot of really awesome computer builds.
Nice.
And a few motherboards that were on display, including the final design for the X299 Waterforce Extreme.
Oh, look at that. That's pretty.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge block. But it's covering a much larger CPU and the VRM. And ties into the Southbridge.
Now, is this a unicorn or is this an actual product you can purchase?
This is an actual product you can purchase. However, much like the original Waterforce, I believe it's going to be in limited numbers.
Yeah, I believe it. And probably very expensive. But if you want the cutting edge of onboard water cooling, ours has you covered.
Mod My Mods.
Always an interesting name.
Well, this is a store out of New York that was started by Frozen CPU employees.
Oh, now I'm intrigued.
So last year we were talking to them about their water cooling fluid that they were working on. Well, they have samples that are now purchasable.
Very cool.
And the packaging is by far the best packaging I've ever
seen. Nice. Those look like auto oil.
Yeah.
They're performance oil right there.
Yep. They're quart jugs that we normally find Pennzoil in, now filled with water cooling fluid. And the best part here is that they are getting the concentrate from the manufacturer. Concentrate's being shipped to their store. And then they are mixing it, pre-mixing it, and putting them in the containers. So that way they can control the quality from start to finish.
I like that. And if they're price competitive, that's a good way to purchase it too.
All right. Next up on the list, we have Thermaltake. And much like previous years, Thermaltake had a lot of stuff on display.
Yeah, they always have a huge booth.
Huge.
And to be fair, they have a wide variety of products.
Yeah. So their big item this year was their memory. So the Tough RAM that we saw last year, the Tough RAM that they released then was not all that special.
It was not so tough.
It wasn't fast, but it was their entry into memory.
Okay. So we think they're making their own memory?
No, they're not making their
okay.
own memory. But
fair enough.
Supposedly, the CEO of Thermaltake used to be in the memory industry before he took over Thermaltake. So he has all these connections and stuff. Well, the modules now are available all the way up to 4,400 megahertz.
Fast.
Much like the Crucial stuff. It comes with RGB with really fancy heat spreader that's based off of the Thermaltake logo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was wondering about that. It's definitely unique looking.
Yeah. And it's available in RGB and not RGB.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that part is pretty amazing.
Yeah, they look slick. That side profile is pretty neat, especially.
Yeah. The they had other versions of the memory as well. This one right here is an all-in-one cooler design that has an all-in-one water block that goes on top of the memory.
Oh, wow.
So you're water cooling your memory and your CPU at the same time.
In the same loop?
In the same loop.
Well, I guess the memory doesn't traditionally add a lot of overhead.
No. So when you buy this cooler, you get the memory with it, and you basically install the memory, install your CPU block, and then you install the memory block. And then tighten it down.
That's kind of slick. We might have to get one of those in and see if it actually performs.
Yeah. And it has RGB. So there you go. RGB block. So they have the block for the all-in-one and the block for the DIY loop.
So that's the same. Oh, yeah. I see. It is.
Yep.
It's a good-looking unit.
I am a fan, actually. And then...
wow, that's a great picture there. We'll have to show you guys the extreme close-up of this thing. Is wow, it's drill-worthy.
Yeah. I was really lucky to get this picture, actually. But the thing I was wanting to show here was the screws on the side, because these have heat spreaders, because this water block comes with its own heat spreaders. So you put them on whatever memory module you have.
Interesting.
So
yeah, I'm very intrigued. Way to go, Thermaltake. That's looking good.
And then they have this downmarket Tough RAM, which has a different lighting bar design. And then here, this is
that's cool.
AH600 case. And Thermal Mike, he was giving me the spiel as we were walking through. And he goes, I cannot wait until Modder takes this and turns it into an Apache helicopter.
I see that. It actually kind of looks like it should be the centerpiece of a mech build, too.
Yeah. So we have, for the radio here, we have a window up front, and then we have a triangle window on both sides of the front of the case. But this one has, it's an open frame design, so we have this glass that is spaced away from the case, and it has a full bottom. Unlike some of the open frame ones, the bottom is always open to the point where you could see carpet and cats and stuff like that. But it's all folded steel around the outside of it.
I like that. I think that would be a fun build, and I can definitely see it, you know, begging for some customization.
Oh, yeah. This is a modder's dream. And the one that I like the best is the View 51. So you have the View 31.
Yes.
And I have the View 71. This is the 51. This is in the middle.
In between, yeah.
And it's a bit wider from a normal case, but it has support for, I think it's a 200 millimeter fan or 180 millimeter fan up front.
Oh, it's big up front, two of them.
And you can plug in four radiators.
Wow.
So you get one on the back on the motherboard tray, one at the top, front, and bottom.
Oh, it still looks really open. That's a great looking design.
Yeah. And the you can run SLI in vertical GPU because the IO panel is rotatable. You can just take it out and rotate it. So, or the expansion slot panel. But I really like that design. And the builds that they put in this case were really well done. Oh, the fans. I think during Computex, I showed a picture of a Ring quad.
Yeah.
So you have the ring fans in your case. I have ring fans in my case.
Yeah, I really like them.
The quad is basically the same fan, but with four independent LED rings in it.
Four. Wow.
So you have one on the outside on the front, outside on the back, inside on the front, inside on the back. So that way you can have lighting.
And they're independently addressable. So, it makes some interesting multicolor action happen.
Yeah. So they have this amazing software now where you can go in and you can time your lights on a time scale, similar to what you would do to make a video.
Sure.
So you can infinitely customizable, and you can share your profiles with other people.
Huh. Well, that's kind of clever. Yeah. I mean, more and more RGB is starting to be a little bit, I don't know, overkill. But when you see something like this, it makes me feel like there's still more coming.
Well, the thing with the RGB is that everybody is dependent on whatever profiles come with the system that you have.
Yeah.
So Corsair has their IQ system. Thermaltake had those 10 or so that you could choose from. The Aura had the few that you could put on the motherboard. This bit of software allows you to customize it almost infinitely and across all of the Thermaltake ecosystem, from fans to the CPU blocks. Of course, the other big thing at the Thermaltake booth was their distro cases.
Oh, okay.
So basically, you take the P5 and you replace the back panel with a full distribution water block.
Well, it's like a giant fish tank.
It is a fish tank. At the very bottom is a D5 pump.
Nice.
So this is a pump res and distribution block. So there is threaded inserts on the front side of it that you hook your fittings into, and then that's what you run water to radiators and CPU blocks and stuff
like that. Oh, that's going to be fun to build.
It really locks you into making sure that the hoses are lined up properly. But
soft tubing, maybe, just to be safe.
Well, the idea is that the CPU is usually located in the same spot on the motherboard religiously. And the video card is usually located in the same spot, you know, if you put it into the top slot.
Right.
So these holes are lined up to match those. So you would have a line that comes straight out and straight across. So you don't have to do a lot of extra weird bending and stuff.
Very cool. I could see that being something to base a build around for sure.
Yeah. To accent that, they built a motherboard tray that has all the I/O and whatnot, and also cable management. So you mount the motherboard to that, and then that goes to the distro plate.
Very, very cool. Not sure if the pictures are doing that justice, because it looks slick.
It was a pain in the butt to take a picture of, so you're lucky to see anything.
Oh, no.
And they're doing a new kit that's based off of their copper radiators now. So, you know, we have the original Thermaltake kit.
Right.
The premium TT premium or whatever, that had the aluminum radiator that everyone complained about. Well, now they're doing copper radiators that have an amazingly tight fin grid, requiring a high pressure fan to actually cool them. But this is a full copper radiator, and they come in kits 240, 280, and 360. Oh, the final item is basically the Tough RAM or Tough Power, not Tough RAM, but Tough Power power supplies. They are centered around the sweet spot of power supplies. So we got 650, 750, and 850 watt.
Nice.
With the quad RGB fans inside them. Which, you know, if you're going to be RGBing everything, you might as well RGB your power supply and get the most light possible.
There you go. Well, it's a pretty good, exciting wrap up there of the first section, but I know there's more to come. So I think we should wrap up here and invite everybody back for part two in the extra.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwaresound.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Sound by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2019. Thanks for listening.